today on Real Radio.
Satan must flee to the Christian who's walking with God. So much of our trouble in life is because we're not walking with God and the enemy has infiltrated our lives. I'm not saying the devil is possessing Christians. I'm saying the devil and his ilk is troubling your life. And we open doors. We open doors to that.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David J., thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, continues a series called Combat Faith, a study in 2 Peter. Now, even though the Apostle Peter is older, he's living a more resilient and unwavering kind of faith. Many are twisting the truth about Jesus and his ministry here on earth these days, and this is why knowing what's true and what's false is at the heart of Peter's letter. As we head further into chapter 2, we see how Peter puts the seriousness of what he's saying into three powerful sections. We just finished Eyes On, Ears On, in which we dealt with false ministries and the danger of following what seems so close to the truth, but according to the Bible, are outright lies. Now we'll see how God condemns false teachers who are ruled by Satan by judging their character and deceitful ways. So today on day 3 of this message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that our enemy, Satan, wants to destroy us spiritually, but the Holy Spirit's power in our lives is stronger than any of the dark powers that move about us. It's why living a life of combat faith is so important and why we can trust the Lord in any situation we find ourselves. And now in his message called What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Matthew 12:43. Park right there for a second. The descendants that came from the Nephilim or Raphaim, recorded in the Bible, there is a group of them called Anakim. And there was one who was noted in the Bible as being the patriarch of this bizarre group of things, people things, called Anak. And he had a lineage, and in that lineage, remember, we talked about them last week, Goliath was one of them. A genetic freak, some strange human-like being that is related to the Raphaim, the Nephilim of the Old Testament. There's an account in the Bible where one of David's mighty men of valor encountered two of them. At the same time, two of them. It says in the Bible, it was a snowy day. And this man, this warrior of David, killed both these men who were men, great men of stature, lion-like. What does that mean? Matthew 12:43. When Jesus said, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through what? Dry places, seeking rest and finds none. That's the New King James version of your Bible. Dry places. NIV. When an impure spirit comes out of a man and goes through places, goes through arid places, seeking rest and does not find it. The English Standard Version, ESV. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a person, it passes through waterless places, seeking rest and finds none. Do you find that a little strange, people? Why does the Bible, why does Jesus point out that when a demon leaves someone, it avoids places where there's water? You ever see this before? Matthew 12:43, the International Standard Version, the ISV. Whenever an unclean spirit goes out of a person, it wanders through waterless places looking for a place to rest, but finds none. The New American Standard Version of 1977 writes, now when the unclean spirit goes out of a man, it passes through waterless places seeking rest, but does not find it. The Christian Standard Bible, the CSB. When an unclean spirit goes out of a person, it roams through waterless places looking for rest, but doesn't find any. The Aramaic New Testament, one of the oldest languages in the world, Aramaic, not Arabic, Aramaic. Jesus spoke Aramaic. But whenever a foul spirit goes out from a man, it wanders about in places without water, and it seeks rest and does not find it. You find that strange, people? The demons are cast out of the man into pigs, and the pigs run into the water and they're drowned. The giants that are occupying the earth and are guilty of this, or offspring of this breed, the Bible says, were washed away in the flood that came in Noah's great flood. Only to reappear again after the flood, the Bible says. They reappeared again. If Goliath is this hybrid thing, if the Raphaim and Nephilim are these hybrid things, the result of male, angelic male intercourse with human female, then when they die, where do they go? What are they? Do they go to heaven? Do they go to hell? Do they go in between? Where do they go? When the flood washed them away and took away their bodies, where did the spirit of them go? You ever think of that? I believe that that's the origin of demons. They're not human in life, and they weren't fully angel in life, but when death came to them, where'd they go? We know that when a human dies, they go to heaven or they go to hell. But when a half-breed dies, when this thing dies, where does it go? I personally believe that that's the origin of demons. That's why they're always looking for a body. And that's why they avoid water. They're terrified of water. Now, I'm not saying go around. If your kid's acting up, I'm not saying throw water on your kid. I'm just saying, why did the Bible go through great pains to tell us about these things that are afraid of water? I don't know what you're going to do with that information other than it's cool. You can talk about that with your friends on a Friday night. But James 4, verse 6 through 8. James 4, verses 6 through 8. This is the good news. But he gives more grace. Therefore, God says, resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Don't be proud, okay? Not good. It was not good for you. Verse 7, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he might flee from you. It's possible he'll flee from you. No. He will, as in must, flee from you. Church, listen. Satan must flee to the Christian who's walking with God. So much of our trouble in life is because we're not walking with God and the enemy has infiltrated our lives. I'm not saying the devil is possessing Christians. I'm saying the devil and his ilk is troubling your life. And we open doors. We open doors to that. We open the door of slothfulness, laziness. Maybe it's sin, known sin. Known sin in the Christian's life. You know God says don't do this, but the door's open and the enemy will come in and harass you. But if you follow God, resist the devil, cling to the Lord, the enemy must flee. A lot of people, Pastor, pray for me, I got so many troubles. And the honest answer should say, we should say, be quiet and obey God. That's often the answer. Very serious. But he goes on, draw near to God, verse 8, and God will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Stop doubting and trust God and rest on him. 1 John 4:4 says, you are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. That's a reference to the Holy Spirit's power. Remember the worlds. The Holy Spirit's power in your life is stronger than the dark, sinister powers of the invisible world that move about in the world all around us. And you're serving one or the other. Doesn't matter who you are, you're serving one or the other. It's a fact. Remember, what's his name? You got to serve somebody. What's his name? Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan. It might be the devil. It might be the Lord. But you got to serve somebody. Remember that? You ever hear him sing that song? You ought to listen to that song. It's on Spotify. You can get that. Serve somebody. And he talks about serving money, serving sex, serving drugs, serving, and then he all whittles it down to everything. And he goes, you're either serving God or the devil. And that's your choice. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3, 2 Corinthians 10, 3 says, for though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. That's what I've been trying to say. I could have read that verse and we could have gone home an hour ago. We live in the physical realm, but we fight in an antimatter world. We live in a physical realm of matter, but we actually wage our true reality, our true existence in an invisible world. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, through the pulling down of strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of God or Christ. And being, listen to this, verse 6, this is to us, the believer, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. What does that mean? That means obey God and be ready for God to use you in a world that is hostile toward God. I'm still trying to figure out if it was a blessing or a curse. But I had the high honor of being just 14 seats over from the First Lady and Rush Limbaugh and the Tuskegee Airman of 100 years old and his great, great grandson who wants to be a warrior in the United States Space Force. And that beautiful, precious little black girl who got her scholarship to any school that her mom chooses for her to go to, or for her to go to, all these wonderful things. And the announcement that all of these bad terrorists that had murdered thousands and tens of thousands of people had now been removed from the face of the earth. Obedience had punished disobedience. And let me tell you something right now. Never thought I'd ever say this. I've had a complete transformation in my thinking. Up until this last week, I prided myself in thinking that as a pastor, if I held true to the word of God and stood on the front line, that I'd be leading the charge against the forces of darkness. It's very amazing to me. I love it. I love the thought of that. And I'm going to keep doing that. The only thing I found out is what Robert Jastrow found out regarding scientists. There's a band of theologians that are ahead of us. Well, listen. There's a whole band of godly congressional and leaders in Washington, D.C. that love the Lord Jesus Christ, that prayed. We prayed with them. They're crying out to God. They knew their Bibles, worn out Bibles. And in that room, nothing like this. This is friendly. I've never experienced anything like it before. Those people who love the Lord Jesus Christ, who are serving our nation, in those halls of power, there's a world of righteousness and a world of wickedness, and it's clashing in the hallways. You can feel it. I'm telling you, have you ever been somewhere where you had a feeling, I need to get out of here? Have you ever had that feeling? Have you ever been where somewhere and you feel like, now you have to whistle? Because it's like, and you know what I'm saying? Sometimes I have felt that in towns or in cities. I felt that before in New York City. I couldn't wait to get out. I couldn't sleep. They put me in a hotel. I was supposed to teach the next morning. I couldn't sleep. The sense of wickedness was so powerful. I was up all night. And I remember I tried to keep my act together. I gave the message at the church and I told the guy, can you get me straight to the airport? It was dark. You could feel it. It was a darkness you could feel. And in that chamber of the State of the Union address, an invisible world was in collision, and you could feel it. Every Christian could feel it. And on one side, so many people, when that precious little black girl was being awarded that wonderful opportunity, the other side sat and grumbled and complained, and some of them made hissing sounds. And when that beautiful black Tuskegee Airman stood up and being declared and awarded Brigadier General at the age of 100, the other team sat and hissed and made these funny, weird noises. It was so obvious that I would not have been surprised if out of the woodwork a Goliath would have come out of the wallpaper. It was wicked, like wickedness I've never felt before in any setting. You could feel it. You pray, listen, no wonder why the Bible says pray for those who are in leadership over us. You know why? That's where Satan traffics. That's where Satan lives, because he can get into a mind of somebody and get them to create policy that will ruin your children forever. That's where the enemy is. It's easy to be a pastor. It's easy to be a Christian. You run for office, you go to Washington, D.C., or the halls of Sacramento, and I don't know what to tell you. You better pray it up. Because what I do is easy. And we met with some people, you know their names. And they were men of prayer. They were women of prayer. And when they're quoting scripture, and I'm just shocked. I'm like, oh my gosh, they're for real. And they're talking about the demonic powers and the threats on their life. In the last couple of months, this particular person, the Secret Service has had to triple their security detail because of the amount of threats on their life because this person's pro-life. The powers that are in play behind, wake up, people, wake up. It's not cute, it's not funny, it's not physical. We're like that little football images on that vibrating table. There's powers behind it all. And then we'll just end with this because time's up. It's notice how they're being held in contempt. Look at how verse 4 ends. They're reserved for judgment. Reserved. They're bound, chained, guarded. And I thought, I changed my mind this morning, but I was going to show you some of the clips that show from the Peter Jackson's Lord of the Rings, and it's just too real. It's just, I mean, I don't know about you. It's from, that's a good movie. I've seen those things walking around town. So, oh, that's fascinating. What an imagination. An orc. I think I know where some orcs live. Okay. He has them in reserve. This is good news for us. God is moving the scene. According to the Bible, there is a group that sinned a sin so gross against humanity and against God that they're held in chains. They won't be released until the tribulation period. They're going to get out for a season. But I want to challenge you in closing right now. Where are you in this war? Are you walking around the battlefield completely oblivious that there's dust and sparks and fire and meat flying and fur and fang going left and right? Are you just like tooling around as though nothing's happened? You don't know nothing. You have no idea that what's happening against your marriage is being engineered by creatures of another world trying to destroy you because you're a Christian. Or the people that are all dressed up and very well refined, sitting behind their places of authority, are manipulating the powers that be to destroy your child's innocence. The powers behind them. It's the powers behind them. And this whole thing about faith in God, trusting God, having faith in God. And it's remarkable when you think about it that faith makes perfect sense if you think about these two worlds, does it not? Because faith is the only thing that allows us in this physical realm to pass through into another world. When you and I pray, we go from this realm to another realm. You ever think of that? When you pray, God hears your prayer in heaven. When you're reading your Bible and you're learning about God, there's information being deposited in your heart from heaven above. The enemy is real, but greater is he, right? Father, we thank you for your truth and for your word, and strange stuff for sure. But Lord, it also causes us to confess that we don't know much. You've given us your word, and for now, in this world, in this life, That's all we're going to get. It's all we need. We will someday be exposed to things that our imagination have never entertained. We will see things that Hollywood has never thought of. And Father, we pray that this morning as a church family, for each and every one of us, I ask that there would be a great awakening in our hearts to what's really at stake here. That our hearts are either hot for God or not. Either Jesus Christ is the love of our life or he's not. Lord, I pray that you'd intensify the reality in each heart, no matter what that reality might be. If inside someone today is empty, may they today ask you to come into their life and fill that hole, lest their end be Christless. And Father, I pray, Lord, for families and for husbands and wives and moms and dads and sons and daughters and grandparents and grandkids and aunts and uncles and the whole clan, the in-laws and the outlaws, everybody together, God, that you bring healing, divine supernatural restoration. And Father, we do pray for our leaders in America. It is so obvious that the powers that are in play, it's spiritual entities using what's available to them. Invisible powers grabbing people. So God, we pray for our nation. We pray for our military. We pray, Father God, for our first responders. We pray, Lord, for our leaders. We pray for our president. We pray, Father, for our Congress. Lord, you establish, you take down. Bring those into power, Father God, that you would. Remove those that you would. But in all things, may we be faithful as a people to do the right thing. And the right thing for all of us today is to yield to the Lordship of Jesus Christ, who died on that cross and rose again from the dead for our justification, that he alone forgives us of our sins. And we put our faith in you today. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called, What You Really Need to Know, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. What You Really Need to Know, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called, Combat Faith, A Study in 2 Peter, a series about the Apostle Peter, whose life was transformed by the salvation of Jesus Christ, and whose passion was to live out his faith as a messenger of the gospel. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Does it seem as if our country has lost its moral compass? Are you as concerned as I am that our nation's freedoms are declining instead of thriving? Well, Pastor Jack's book of the month for June is called Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. This fascinating biography on one of our founding fathers is sure to both inspire and motivate you to help preserve America's Christian values. Thomas Jefferson called Adams the spirit of the Revolution. When a British general offered Samuel Adams great wealth to end his cause for liberty, Adams' response was, I serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I need no king. Yet we've all but forgotten him. This is why Pastor Jack wants us to know about Samuel Adams and to be that intentional in our fight to maintain our God-given freedoms. Ira Stoll not only restores Samuel Adams to his rightful place in history, but gives the reader new insights into this uncompromising man of God. Samuel Adams, A Life by Ira Stoll. It's available at our website, jackhibbs.com, for a gift of any amount, so be sure to order your copy right away. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.